Thank you for listening to the LA Catholic Morning Podcast. To help us broadcast all the good, true, and beautiful, please go to our support page on archangelradio.com.
Time to wake up, Lower Alabama! Ha ha! From the original home of Mardi Gras, moon pies, and more, this is LA Catholic Morning.
Welcome to LA Catholic Morning. You're on
Friday.
That's going to be our excuse for everything.
Todd Sylvester with Ellen Taylor.
Good morning.
Reed is in command.
Yeah. Hello, everybody.
Flying the ship.
Mike took today off because it is his 17th wedding anniversary.
Hey, yeah. Happy anniversary.
So I'm sure he's up listening.
Father Steve Williams' birthday today, by the way.
Oh.
So send him a birthday text. Blow up his phone.
That'll be fun.
Mm-hmm. That'll be fun. I always look forward to Fridays, though, because it's Ellen's favorite day. So she's,
it is. See this happy face? Though the tax box is staring at me from my dining room table. So that's the weekend.
Well, don't even think about that.
Not yet. Not yet.
Today, the church commemorates St. Polycarp, who died in 155. But think about this. He was converted to Christianity by St. John the Evangelist himself.
Wow, right to the, like, the source of the source.
I mean, come on.
Yeah, that's strong.
Oh, that's solid.
Yeah.
Solid. If you got questions, he's got answers. So let's pray. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God of all creation, who were pleased to give the Bishop St. Polycarp a place in the company of the martyrs, grant through his intercession that sharing with him in the chalice of Christ, we may rise through the Holy Spirit to eternal life. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God forever and ever.
Amen. Amen.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We thank our sponsor, Spectrum Collision, serving the Mobile community for over 40 years. Spectrum provides mechanic and collision repair, tires, 24-hour towing, and more. Located on Airport Boulevard in Mobile, call Spectrum at 251-342-0005 or visit speakhole.com.
And here are your news headlines for Friday, February 23rd, 2024. An AT&T network failure left people around the country without cell phone service for hours, frustrating customers and renewing concerns about the reliability of vital network infrastructure. Based on an initial review, the outage resulted from an incorrect process used as we were expanding our network, whatever that means. And it wasn't the result of a cyber attack, AT&T said. Thursday afternoon, it had restored service to most of its affected customers. Critical services, such as that Zoom meeting you were supposed to be on, were interrupted, as well as everybody was lingering in the departure area of airports because nobody could pull up their tickets on their phones. A 32-year-old quoted saying, it was a lot of stress.
That's why I used to print it out, even though it was on my phone, in case stuff like that would happen.
Exactly. You would have been prepared.
We old people know.
February not only has the snow moon, but it's also the micro moon. The snow moon is what the full moon in February is usually known as because February is the snowiest month. However, this year, the micro moon phenomenon kicks in as well. It's when a full moon is at the farthest point from Earth during its yearly orbit, resulting in the appearance of the smallest full moon you will see.
Wow.
For comparison, a super moon is 14% larger and 30% brighter than a micro moon.
Uh-huh.
I know. Everyone's going to have a lot to talk about around the water cooler today. Todd, you like this? The large family association of Madrid in Spain has launched an advertising campaign featuring the message, save the planet, have more children. The campaign's objective is to turn on its head the prevailing pessimism and invite more people to experience the joy that comes with a large family. The campaign tries to make people reflect upon such common attitudes as, kids, I already have a dog, one is enough, and two, but no more.
Yowza.
And according to Uber Facts, forgetting minor details such as the name of someone you've just met helps your brain maintain efficiency by prioritizing more important information.
What?
I know.
What's your
name again?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I don't know. There's your news.
There you go. Always look forward to Friday mornings when Media Czar Tom McDonald joins us. Good morning, Tom.
Good morning. Good
morning.
So you got some media stuff going on this weekend, don't you?
Yeah.
Don't you, Tom?
Oh yeah, this is it's that time of year.
Uh-huh.
It's you know, every year right around my birthday, and Todd, right around your birthday is Pensacon over in Pensacola, which is in its its 11th year, I think. I'm not exactly sure, but I know that I've been going to Pensacon for a decade.
Wow.
Because on my Facebook feed the other day, you know, Facebook memories, a picture popped up of me with my son Christopher, and he was dressed as the Doctor from Doctor Who, us at Pensacon in 2014.
Wow.
So it has been at least a decade.
Mm. Yowza. How old was he?
Oh gosh, he would have been like a freshman or a sophomore in high school at that point.
That's crazy.
Nice.
Yeah.
So you're going back again.
Yeah, I'll be headed over there again. I'll be headed there actually today, right after the school day ends. I'll go straight from here over to Pensacola. And of course, a lot of people when they go, they cosplay. They dress up as their favorite pop culture character. I love looking at all that. I like seeing all the creativity and the time that goes into these things and trying to figure out who's who. But I myself steer clear of participating in cosplay. That is not a variety of reasons why I don't do that. Number one of which being that I am not an extrovert. So I don't really like drawing attention to myself in public places.
You don't
so
want a bunch of people coming up and,
dude.
And saying, hey, can I get my picture with you? You don't want that to happen, Tom?
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's not that is not my thing. That's why I like radio, because people don't see your face. Yeah. So
exactly.
Hey, I finally remembered who my daughter is dressing up as.
Mm-hmm. And that is?
Oh, who's that?
It's the goddess Athena.
Okay.
So I don't know.
Oh. Well, you're
is
asking
that from
me.
Any particular
from
show
some
or movie?
Book series or something. I you got me. But she's actually going to be in the costume contest.
Ooh,
so let's see on Monday if I'm telling you anything about that.
Ooh.
Okay, is this from the is it the Percy Jackson series?
Yes. That's
okay. Yeah, very good. All right. Well, that'll be it's incredible the creativity and the lengths people will go to dress up. It's really something else. But this event is probably, I don't think I'm going out on a limb to say it's the most successful, biggest annual event that takes place in Pensacola.
Wow.
And frankly, it's other than, well, I guess Mobile has Mardi Gras in the Senior Bowl. Aside from those two events, it's probably the third biggest deal in this region of the Gulf Coast, I would argue. There will be a couple, I'm not sure the exact number they've had, but it's in the tens of thousands of people. And it's downtown Pensacola. It's spread out over multiple venues. It goes Friday, Saturday, Sunday. The hours today... starts at 1 o'clock this afternoon, goes till 8 p.m. tonight, and then it's Saturday 10 to 6, and it's Sunday 10 to 5. You can get a weekend pass, it's a 3-day pass, or you can get a daily pass. They do VIP passes and things with special perks, but those sell out long in advance, so you can't really get those. And it's in the main venue is the Pensacola Bay Center, the arena. Down right there in downtown Pensacola. So if you head over on I-10 and then you go south on that 110 extension, you get all the way to the end of that and curl around and get off, and there's the Pensacola Bay Center right there. And then there are a number of other venues with different things. So they have what it is you've got a whole slew of celebrity guests who are there to take photos with fans and sign autographs. There's a vendor floor, so the Pensacola Bay Center, the main arena floor, is set up just as a vendor floor, so you've got people selling all kinds of interesting and weird pop culture stuff, from comic books to, you know, art you can hang on the wall, to old collectibles and toys and just everything in between. Then there are panel discussions featuring the guests from different movies and TV shows, which will take place in different venues around the area. There's, of course, Todd, as you mentioned, the costume contest. And there'll be food trucks outside and just all kinds of stuff going on. So it is a fun time with a little something for everyone. What they try to do every year with the guests is they try to do two things. One is to get a variety of guests from a variety of different movies and TV shows and things so that there's a little something for everybody's interest. And in addition to that, every year they seem to sort of zero in on a theme or two where they'll try to get several guests from the same show so that if you're a fan of that thing, you can have this, the whole collection of people you can meet, get a photo with the whole group and all that sort of thing. So, of course, all of this comes at a price. You know, you've got to pay for the pass to get in. And then if you want a photo or you want an autograph, your item signed, all of this, every celebrity charges for these, and one downfall is if you go to the Pensacon website, you can't pull up a list of what everybody charges because they don't really tell you that until you're on site, and they're all different. But I could just tell you in general, the more famous the person, the more expensive it's going to be to get that photo or that autograph. But the thing, sometimes people are cynical and they think, well, gosh, these celebrities are just cashing in, charging money for photo or autograph. You know, why can't they just appreciate their fans? Well, I'll tell you a couple things. One is, if you approach a celebrity like in public or on the street and ask for an autograph, they'll often give you one, but you always have this feeling like you're interrupting their private life and you're bothering them. And it's somewhat awkward. Whereas at an event like this, they have contracted to come here. They've chosen to be here for the weekend. They are there for the fans. And so they're giving up, they're traveling great distances, giving up their weekend to do this. And it's long hours. I mean, they're there all day long, meeting person after person after person, signing things, smiling for a photo over and over and over again. And of course they're due compensation for that because that's exhausting, I'm sure. And the other thing is when you pay for that opportunity, you're going to get that celebrity's undivided attention for a couple of minutes. You know, they are there for you. You are not interrupting them. That is why they're there. So it's a more, I think a far more pleasant experience than if you just run into somebody on the street.
Absolutely. So, I'll tell you, my mind has completely changed on this. Years ago, when you were like, I'm going to Pensacon, I'm like, oh, boy, and I rolled my eyes. And then the first time I went, I thought, this is such a great event for people even like my daughter. My daughter nerds out on this kind of stuff, and she's got a small group of friends that kind of get her. But you can't dress up in costume. I mean, maybe I guess on Halloween, but... And then be comfortable doing that, whereas everybody there just loves that everyone's in costume. Right, Tom?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. There's and everybody appreciates everybody else's effort. Like, it's a very positive environment by and large. And people feel comfortable there. And it's not, they may not feel comfortable in the general public doing things like this. So, If you're the kind of person who hears this, you think this just sounds like a bunch of weirdos. Well, two things. One, yes, it is. that's okay. Like, that's okay. It's fine. And two, if you go to, like I was at the Senior Bowl a couple weekends ago, and that's a big fun event. And as I was walking around, it was before the game, it was occurring to me how similar the Senior Bowl festivities are to Pensacon. Now, in terms of who goes to the two events, there's probably very little overlap.
Right.
There's me and maybe six other dudes who go to both things.
Okay.
But I'm walking around, and you got all sorts of guys at the Senior Bowl experience. They are, first of all, there's food trucks. There's little games you can play in booths. There's people handing out stuff. There's old players who are there meeting fans and signing autographs. There's they're giving out these little bobbleheads of players, so basically action figures of old players. There's and all the guys there, all middle-aged guys there, are they're wearing jerseys. They're cosplaying as their favorite player from back in the day. So it's really, it's people enjoy whatever your interest is, whether it's sports or music or pop culture, movies and TV. People enjoy getting together with like-minded fans and being excited about meeting these people, these legendary people, and celebrating the thing they're interested in. So it's all good. Now, some of the guests this year, it's interesting. They cast a wide net, and usually at Pensacon, there's one name or two that stand out as like, oh, here's the big person they got this year. Like in the past, been somebody like William Shatner. You know, William Shatner, big name, everybody recognizes. Even if you're not into this stuff, everybody knows who William Shatner is, right? This year, that was a couple years ago. He's not there this year. This year, it seems like they fell short of having the big name. Like, there's not one name on this list that jumps out as, oh, yeah, that's the guy or that's the person. It's still a lot of people, but it's a little more specialized and under the radar. But there are a few names that I would think most of our listeners would recognize. And I'm just going to kind of scroll through this and point those ones out. Let's see. I have to scroll
Lou,
way
Lou
down.
Lou Ferrigno.
The first
Lou Ferrigno. I mean,
oh, yeah. Hulk.
People, yeah, Lou,
Hulk original
age,
Hulk.
Yeah,
Lou Ferrigno, the Incredible Hulk from the TV show back in the day. He does a lot of these conventions. He will be there. Faison Love. Okay, so if you've seen Elf, and when Buddy the Elf finds himself working in the department store getting ready for Santa's arrival, the manager of that Christmas section, who's a very high-strung man, who tells Buddy, make work your favorite, work is your favorite, and fusses at him for all the over-the-top decorations he makes, he will be there.
Oh, cool.
And he's a great little character in Elf, and he's done a bunch of other stuff too. So, that's kind of an interesting thing. Let's see. There's also, I don't see her in this main list, but Vicki Lawrence has been announced. You know, Vicki Lawrence, the great comedian who's got her star in the Carol Burnett Show and then went on to star in Mama's Family as Mama.
Oh, cool.
She will be there. Another blast from the past, Mackenzie Phillips, who was one of the daughters on the old sitcom One Day at a Time from way back in the day. She will be there. Mira Sorvino, who hit it big in the 90s in a bunch of movies. Mm-hmm. She will be there. Morgan Fairchild is another blast from the past, from the 80s.
None of these, can I ask, none of these sound like comic book shows.
See, but that's
people
the problem.
I mean,
you
like,
think
how
it's a comic
wide
book
is
thing?
The net cast
Very
for
wide.
Anybody to come?
Very wide.
Anybody.
Yes.
John Sylvester could be there as radio host.
No.
Okay,
that'd be a stretch.
Okay, sorry.
So,
net's not that big.
So, yeah, Ellen, the people I'm picking out and naming, my criteria for picking them out and naming them is I'm asking myself, who would Ellen recognize?
Okay, I did know everyone on that list, so I'm okay.
Like, I could read you another 100 names, but you wouldn't know who a single one of these people is. Uh-huh. So, in fact, I'll just give you an example. Like, a whole bunch of the members of the voice cast from Star Wars, the Clone Wars animated show, they will be there. Ron Perlman will be there, who was
the Beast.
That older TV show with Linda Hamilton, Beauty and the Beast.
Mm-hmm.
And he's also, he is the star of the Hellboy movies. He will be there. There's several members of the cast of the Rocky Horror Picture Show will be there. There's always a couple folks from The Walking Dead will be there. And just a whole range slew of people. So you can go to Pensacon.com. You can pull up the guest list and see who all is going to be there. You can bring items for them to sign, or they will all have their own items, usually 8x11 photos of themselves, a variety of them that you can purchase the photo, and then they'll sign it for you on the spot. And all the info is on that Pensacon website. I'm looking forward to meeting just one or two people. There's only one person on this list that I'm really looking forward to meeting. I'm collecting Walking Dead autographs on a big poster And I'm going to add one to that. But I'm there mainly for the vendor floor to fill holes in my vintage comic book collection, see what I can find there. But it's just a good time, and they do a good job with it. I will say one thing I noticed is that several guests have canceled. A higher than normal number of guests have canceled the last minute, but that is very normal for these conventions because these are all working actors, most of them. And so if they get called to set, if the shooting schedule changes abruptly, they got to cancel from the convention and go do that as their top priority. And people who attend these things know that that's how it works, that you can't count on anybody being there. You just got to hope they don't cancel last minute. And because the writers and actors strike ended and there's a backlog of production, I think that's why they've had a higher than normal number of cancellations, because a lot of these shows are going back in production and they got to get back to do that. So, but to Pensacon's credit, when people cancel, they try to add other people at the last minute to make up for it. So they do a pretty good job with that. But you can go to Pensacon.com and get all the info on how to get tickets and the hours and location and everything, all the good stuff like that.
Sounds good. Can't wait to hear next week on how it went, Tom.
Yeah. Looking forward to it.
All right. Have a great time.
You guys have fun. Good. Yeah. Catherine Jean Lopez is joining the show. We're going to talk about the movie coming out, The Life of St. Francis Cabrini, next on L.A. Catholic Morning.
Home is where the heart is, and my heart lives by the bay. If home is where the heart is, then my heart lives by the bay.
Lord, shine your light on me, save me. Lord, shine your light on me, save me.
Oh, welcome back to LA Catholic Morning on this Friday. On the line with us is Catherine Jean Lopez. She's a senior fellow at the National Review Institute and editor at large of the National Review magazine. And we're looking at her article on the film Mother Cabrini. And actually what she did is kind of, we take advantage of it. We live on the fruits of it, I think, but we don't really recognize the work and the love that went into her mission. Good morning, Catherine. Welcome into the show.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks. I've seen some trailers for this movie, and it's interesting because you don't get movies made about saints all that often, except the big ones,
right.
You know. And Mother Cabrini, even, you know, in our age, it still kind of is contemporary enough for us to relate to, of the issues
right.
of helping immigrants and women and children. And so what drew you in about her story?
Well, I am coming to you as a New Yorker. I was born and raised in New York. I live in New York, and she's buried in New York. And I kind of like quarterly try to go visit her shrine. It's right near the George Washington Bridge. And so I've loved Mother Cabrini for a long time. My mother went to the high school that unfortunately is now closed, but was right there, right by the chapel where she is, her, you know, earthly remains are. And so I've always been aware of her. I've always loved her. And one of the things I love about her so much, a number of years ago, I put together a book called A Year with the Mystics. And I made sure that Mother Cabrini was in it, because if you read her writings, all the stuff that she did, like we think of her, she's the patron saint of immigrants, and we think of her as a doer. She couldn't do anything if she wasn't praying to God all the time. You know, that's what fueled her ability to do. And I have, you know, I originally saw at the March for Life Rose Dinner, it actually, there was apparently a hiccup, and they were supposed to show the trailer, and they wound up showing a scene that was kind of meant for a different audience, which was really interesting, because it was kind of like meant for probably a liberal, you know, very pro-immigrant audience rather than a more, you know, pious Catholic audience, mm-hmm. which maybe is your March for Life crowd. And I thought, what is this movie? This is really interesting. And there are definitely, if you watch the trailer even, there are like these feminist elements of it, which when I watched the movie, it's kind of genius, because the fact of the matter is part of her story is a lot of men in the church were jerks to her and didn't listen to her heart and didn't appreciate her calling. And she very lovingly and obediently to Jesus and the church, and, you know, in obedience to, you know, these men who were giving her a difficult time, you know, just kept trying to move ahead because she saw Jesus and the people who needed her. And I do think the beauty of this movie, which is made by Catholics, for the record, is that it will, I think it will be attractive to a broader audience than, you know, the kind of movies where you have to beg your church to buy the tickets, if you know what I mean.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Which I've already purchased my tickets for this film.
Oh, you got them?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Wonderful.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah. We pre-bought them when I saw it because I wasn't sure exactly where they were going to go with it. But I also have been to the shrine there in Queens. And mm-hmm. I sat on that bench. Catherine sat on the bench where she used to sit out and pray. So I was there. But she is just an amazing person in that the tenacity of the saints is, to me, overwhelming. Like, they just don't stop. Here she is, this sickly woman who could have very well just kind of got into a cycle, maybe one little school, and then that would have been fine. And we would have considered that a good and holy life. And yet, I've even been out to the site in Colorado. And I'm like, Mother Cabrini, what are you doing here? Like, you're a sickly woman. And you're climbing mountains in Colorado. Like, she just wouldn't stop, would she, Catherine?
Right. No, and if you read her, so there's a book that is like her travel diaries that is really, it's basically the letters she sent back to the sisters in Italy as she was traveling. And, you know, these boat trips from, you know, across the Atlantic were treacherous sometimes. I mean, like, people getting sick and, you know, so she's, like, describing the sisters getting sick because of how the boat was rocking and how bad the waters were. And but at one point, one of my favorite letters, which maybe it's strange that it's one of my favorite letters, but she's angry. It's like a righteous anger because there are priests on the boat and they didn't bring, like, you know, the equivalent of a mass kit we would have today, you know, and so they weren't celebrating mass on the boat. And by the way, priests should celebrate mass every day. And she knew that. And so she was basically like, I'm trying to like evangelize the secular people on the boat and the priests can't even bother doing the one thing they could do. And there was something beautiful about that because it wasn't, again, this is not like, you know, women power kind of thing. It's no, like, I love the Eucharist and they can bring me the Eucharist. And why aren't they bringing us the Eucharist? You know? The Eucharist was so essential to everything she did. And that's what was at the root of the tenacity. You know, she couldn't do anything without that. And you're right too. Like, she could have just decided, oh, okay, like, I'm sickly. I'm going to, you know, live a life of quiet prayer in a convent. But that's not what she did. And that's part of what's so amazing about her. But also it's so important, as I said earlier, you know, she's relatively contemporary to us, you know. This is not foreign. And the other thing I think is important, you know, I think it's important for lay people to appreciate. Yes, she was a sister, right? And who built, you know, schools and orphanages and all these things. I think we live in a time right now where obviously the institutional church is hurting. And I think lay people in a new way need to step up to the plate and be creative. You know, there are independent Catholic schools that are like endorsed by the diocese, but are run by lay people, lay boards. There are other ministries like that. I think we need to see more of that. And so the inspiration that Mother Cabrini provides shouldn't just be for like women religious. I think it should be for everybody because, again, I think lay people need to step up to the plate in a new way. And in particular, you know, the whole mother part of Cabrini, after the Dobbs decision after Roe v. Wade was overturned, you know, we need to think so much more differently and more creatively about how we can help women and children. And I think Mother Cabrini really sets an example there that gives us an opportunity to meditate on that and be inspired by that. Again, you don't have to be a religious sister.
We're speaking with
Catherine Jean Lopez.
Thanks. My glasses didn't go that far. Sure. Catherine, what I like what you've pointed out in a call for all of us based on this life of Mother Cabrini is to be bold, to be tenacious, and to be loving in doing the work that we're called to do, whether we're layperson, a woman religious, a priest. We all have to continue to joyfully answer to the mission that we're called for in whatever state we're in. And you're right, this movie with about Mother Cabrini really highlights that in her place, in her situation, she got like 100% out of it. Maybe not 90, maybe 99, because it's hard for us to all do 100. But really just following the call to what God had put in her path and doing it joyfully, doing it boldly, and doing it tenaciously. And that it really is an inspiration. I think you zeroed in on it to the point for the rest of us that's what we have to do. I mean, there's plenty of those problems that Mother Cabrini encountered in New York City in her time. They're still there. Different faces, slightly different needs, but they're still there. And I think that's a good call for us to answer as well.
Well, goodness. I mean, as someone who is in New York City right now, you see, you know, not very far from National Review's offices, we have one of those hotels where undocumented immigrants are being processed. And sometimes you see a lot of 20-something males, and you're wondering, you know, what are they doing? But more so, what breaks my heart is when you see a mom with her kids, or you see sometimes a mom and a dad and their kids, and you think, like, who stole their money and told them, like, they'd be better off mm-hmm. here on the street, you know? Mm-hmm. And, I mean, the other day I saw, I don't know, maybe a 10-year-old, 12-year-old girl who was, like, selling half liters of Coke. And, like, on the street, like, trying to. I don't know if anybody bought them, you know. It's just, that shouldn't be, right? Mm-hmm. And I don't pretend to know all the answers to that. But I do know that, like, Mother Cabrini wouldn't, like, be as bothered by the politics as just, like, finding a place for that family, you know, and just ministering to their hearts and their needs. And yeah, I know. And we also have all these homeless people and mentally ill people on the street. And I think about Dorothy Day too. It'd be really awesome as a journalist. I would love to be able to like interview Mother Cabrini and Dorothy Day on the same panel, you know, and Elizabeth Ann Seton and be like,
have a panel.
What do we do about these things?
Put together a panel.
I don't think I would like that, Catherine, because I think.
Oh, I would love it. It would be super challenging.
I know. That's what I'm saying. They would boldly.
Again. I know.
They would boldly say, "Do you have a spare bed in your home? Is there a place for some of these people to sleep in your home?" And you'd be like, look at the time. I really must be going."
But those are the questions we need to be asked. You know, I mean, I write as often as I can about foster care in America. Like, if we're pro-life, which is Catholics, we need to be, you know, what about the kids who are already born? You know, Catholics used to be leaders in orphan care. And now that's not the case so much because we don't have as many religious sisters. And again, that's where lay people need to step up to the plate. And I don't pretend these are easy things, you know, but we are called to radical hospitality. And that's part of what brought Mother Cabrini across the Atlantic, you know, like having a heart for immigrants who she knew were flailing in New York and other places in the United States. So we need to realize that we're living, even with, I know everybody, the longer I live, everybody is suffering. Everybody has burdens that we can't appreciate. You know, people are bearing things in their hearts that they can't even talk about.
And I think,
but at the same time, we're also, many of us, living lives of comfort, even in that suffering. And there are people who are worse off, and how can we reach out to them?
And you make a good point. We can't acquiesce our Christian duty to government agencies and NGOs and things like that. We still have to called to serve in ways that we can, and I think that that's really important. Catherine, thank you so much for joining us. We look forward to seeing this movie, Cabrini, and your other good work in National
Catherine.
Review.
God bless.
Thanks.
The movie is going to be March 7th.
Oh, March 7th. Okay.
If you just Google it, you can get tickets.
Okay. A frog in his throat. Father Paul Zogby's joining the show Sunday. Gospel Reflection is next on LA Catholic Morning. Stay with us.
Where the heart is, then my heart lives by the bay. If home is where the heart is, then my heart lives by the bay.
Welcome back to LA Catholic Morning here on Archangel Radio. Todd Sylvester with Ellen Taylor. Reed's over there.
Mm-hmm.
On the line,
ooh,
cannot
wow.
believe it, the voice, the legend, Father Paul Zogby of St. Margaret of Scotland in Foley.
Wow. No pressure there. No pressure there, Todd.
You can handle it.
No pressure there.
You can handle it.
Good morning.
Good morning. Morning. Good it's morning, like Mike Father. Got the all-star lineup for
although
Lent.
Although our old-timers wow. are going to be like, it's not Thursday. Why do I hear Father Zogby?
Well, I'd like to say it's Thursday somewhere, but is it? I'm not sure.
No, certainly not. Certainly not. But we do have this coming Sunday is already the second Sunday of Lent. And I know you and I share the same love for Lent, which is awesome.
I talked to a buddy of mine this morning, a priest. I said, gosh, how many more Fridays of Lent do we have to go? Oh, my God. And then I thought of Todd Sylvester, who said... Well, no, it wasn't your ordinary time's your favorite, isn't it?
Well, it is, but Lent is where I honestly am the holiest.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Lent is the best for me. That's why I'm petitioning Rome to add another little Lent in the summer.
Yeah, right.
Just because I need that reset.
That, you know, I'll be honest with you. I hope our listeners understand that he really means this.
Yeah, I mean, I know.
Not like, necessarily going to petition the Vatican, but he really does want another Lent in summer.
I'm going to start a grassroots campaign.
I'm the kind of guy, and sadly, I'm admitting my weaknesses. I need this to kind of recalibrate things. And even in this short time, I'm the best person I've been this year. Lent is awesome.
I'm gonna call Mrs. Sylvester. And
there you go, Father.
Go right ahead. Go right ahead.
Good to hear. Good to be with y'all. Really
you
mean
too.
That.
Amen.
All right.
Amen. You ready to dive into Mark's gospel?
Sure. Shall I? Is that? Do I proclaim the gospel?
Please
yes,
do.
You do. Mm-hmm.
All right. And we pray. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus took Peter, James, and John, and led them up a high mountain apart by themselves. And he was transfigured before them. And his clothes became dazzling white, such as no fuller on earth could bleach them. Then Elijah appeared to them, along with Moses, and they were conversing with Jesus. Then Peter said to Jesus in reply, Rabbi, it is good that we are here. Let us make three tents, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. He hardly knew what to say. They were so terrified. Then a cloud came, casting a shadow over them. From the cloud came a voice. This is my beloved son. Listen to him. Suddenly, looking around, they no longer saw anyone but Jesus alone with them. As they were coming down from the mountain, Jesus charged them not to relate what they had seen to anyone except when the Son of Man had risen from the dead. So they kept the matter to themselves, questioning what rising from the dead meant. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you,
Lord Jesus Christ.
In this Gospel, we recognize that we're witnessing a prayer experience. A couple of weeks ago, I went to do a wedding for a nephew of mine in Savannah, Georgia, and the priest who took the masses at St. Margaret's is Monsignor Troncalli. He's a retired priest of the archdiocese. He lives on the property of the parish in Wetumpka, Our Lady of Guadalupe. And I remember being stationed with that wonderful priest when I was just before I was ordained a priest myself, the summer before, when he was pastor in St. Joseph in Prattville. And Monsignor Troncalli is a great priest, was a great pastor. And he would had the habit, for whatever reason, I'm not sure how this all worked, he visited people and delivered food to them. And they didn't have to be parishioners or even Catholics. So on one occasion, we went to visit a lady whose name was Annie. And I had never met Annie, so Monsignor Troncalli introduced her to me. And she said, I remember she asked this question. Did I ever tell you all this story about
Annie?
No.
No.
Okay. So she asked me this question. She said, so you want to be a preacher? Well, I didn't want to try to correct Miss Annie. She wasn't Catholic. I didn't like one. I said, well, I said, yes, ma'am. She said, well, if you want to be a preacher, you have to teach the children two things. You have to teach them the difference between right and wrong and teach the children how to pray. So last week, in our parish, I gave the people a marvelous examination of conscience, written actually by two of our very best priests, Father Sophie and Father Dean. And it's a super good examination of conscience, preparing everybody to make a good confession during Lent. And so we tried to enable people to learn the difference between right and wrong by giving everybody a copy of the examination of conscience. So this week, because I believe Mount Tabor, more than anything, is a prayer experience, I just wanted to kind of give a little catechesis on prayer to our people. And first of all, our dear Lord was transfigured on Mount Tabor. And I guess we've all probably done a little research on Mount Tabor, but it's 1,886 feet above ground. Now, I don't know about you, but that's 2,000 feet. So they got to climb up the 2,000 feet. Which, of course, being Southerners living on a plane, it's not conceivable, but it's tough to climb a mountain. You have to exert yourself to climb the mountain. What that teaches us is to enter into prayer. To pray, you have to actually put yourself in the place of prayer, which means you have to choose a time and a place that you're going to pray. I've told you this before, most surely. My father found that time every morning. Every morning of his life, my mother found it every night, which means my daddy was a morning person, my mother wasn't, and we need to find the time that works with our sort of disposition. I think the Lord made us the way we are, and so whatever time we find to choose to pray, it's okay, I believe, with the dear Lord, because he understands that some of us will find it more amenable to pray in the morning, others in the evening. All right. There are various forms of prayer, but basically prayer is lifting one's mind and heart to God. So the first form of prayer that we're familiar with is what's called rote prayer. And that's very important to learn rote prayers because the human spirit, the human heart, the human mind, the way we work, we really need order. So the first rote prayers Catholics we learn is the sign of the cross. We should teach our children very early on their rote prayers. I encourage all of our people, of course, to teach our children very early on the sign of the cross, the Lord's Prayer, the Hail Mary, the Glory Be, and teach them long before they ever make their first confession, the act of contrition. When I was in eighth grade at St. Catherine's, we didn't know the act of contrition. The priest walked in, the associate pastor, and he was shocked to find that we didn't know it. So he went and ran it off and said, if you don't know this, I'll never forget. He said, if you don't know this, but at the end of next week, you're all kicked out of school. Well, they couldn't kick us out of St. Catherine's because they had to close the school down. It was so small. But rote prayer is good prayer. It's okay to say we know prayers by heart. Jesus taught us the Our Father, so he expected that anyway. Another form of prayer that's wonderful, perhaps the most fruitful prayer in my life has been what I would call vocal prayer. And I accomplish that a lot of times in the car when I'm taking a long drive. And I speak to the Lord from my heart, and I just talk to him. I talk to the Lord like I'm talking to my very best friend. Of course, he is our very best friend. And then I sit in quiet and just try to listen a little bit. So these things, really, the Lord is interested in every aspect of our life. So we should talk to our dear Lord how we are, what's going on, and then just empty our heart to him. I accomplish that a lot in the car. Others might do it on a long walk. Some others might do it who knows where. Then we come to what's called liturgical prayer. And the most, you know, obviously the ultimate liturgical prayer is the Mass. And that's when the earthly liturgy or worship of God is reflected in the heavenly liturgy. And that's why, of course, the church considers Mass to be obligatory, because we can't experience heaven on earth unless we're there every single week. The second form of liturgical prayer, which I hope our listeners are familiar with, and if they're not, it's called the Liturgy of the Hours, which we call the Breviary. The priest is obliged to pray it for you every day, but really it's the official prayer of the Catholic Church. And I had we were supposed to pray it in the morning, in the daytime, in the evening, at night, and another prayer called the Office of Readings. I was stationed with a priest named Father Cunningham, God rest his soul, and we're talking about the Liturgy of the Hours. He goes, so he intimated that he prayed the whole thing in the morning, the whole thing. And I said, you mean you pray the whole breviary, like you're praying evening prayer at like 6 o'clock in the morning? He says, ah, sure. He says, if Jesus isn't ready for the whole thing in the morning, that's not my fault, it's his. So I think it's, you know, as a priest, I'm like, I put a lot of the hours together in the morning, too. We had a Jesuit priest named Father Tetlow who told us, like, if you don't pray in the morning, you probably won't get a chance to really pray. And so I've taken the habit of doing a lot of my office, what I call the breviary, the liturgy hours in the morning. But the last sort of thing that I want to talk about is what's called meditation, especially with the sacred scripture. And I challenge people, if they've never done this, to do this one thing. And it's called the method of St. Ignatius and meditating upon the scripture. It takes a little creativity and a little time, but it's absolutely, positively worth it. So imagine you're at the wedding feast of Cana, and you take that scripture and you read it from the first miracle of Jesus in the Gospel of St. John. You read it. Ignatius of Loyola would challenge you to be a figure in that particular scene or action of Jesus. He said you could be the bride, the groom, the wine steward, a guest. You could be one of the apostles, the Blessed Mother, or Jesus. And it really helps us to lift our mind and our heart to God in a way that sort of stretches our spiritual imagination. Another more simple way of meditating is simply the Holy Rosary, which a lot of people accomplish every day just to consider the important things of the life of Jesus and Mary. I do it in the car. My grandmother did it sitting down. A lot of people do it when they're walking, but I really do, or some do it in church. Last thing I want to talk about is adoration of the Blessed Sacrament. St. John Vianney said about adoration of the Blessed Sacrament, when he saw a man in his parish named Jacques every single morning in the church as he was praying before the Blessed Sacrament in the tabernacle. He said, you're here every morning for about an hour, Jacques. He said, what are you doing? I don't see you like with prayer books, and I don't see you with any particular rosary beads. He said, what are you doing? He says, oh, Father, he says, it's real simple. I'm looking at him, and he's looking at me. So adoration of the Blessed Sacrament really is the closest form of prayer to heaven, mm-hmm. because we're actually with God in that moment.
Amen.
Wow.
So that's my little reflection for the morning.
Oh,
so
man, what beautiful. Marching instructions.
So beautiful.
Can we get a blessing,
a
Father Paul,
may
before
the Lord
you
bless
leave.
You and keep you. Absolutely. May the Lord bless you and keep you, and let his face shine upon you, give you his peace this day and always. The Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Y'all have a great day.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you.
Have a great weekend.
Thank you. Have a great day. God bless you. Bye-bye.
Every second was packed.
I know.
Was packed.
I know. We miss him. We thank our sponsor, Farnell Heating and Air. Spring is just around the corner. Schedule your maintenance check now to be sure your system is ready for warmer months. Call 251-471-2674 or go to farnellac.com. Farnell Heating and Air, devoted to your family's comfort. It's coming up on Monday. Reed?
Yes, on Monday, you and Ellen will discuss the news from a Catholic perspective. Dr. Gracie Christie talks about the severity of Lent. And Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse will highlight the top challenges we face today in our society.
Double doctors.
Oh, my goodness.
I know. It's going to be great. Hope everybody has a fantastic weekend. Let's be the holiest people that people encounter today.
Yep.
Thanks so much for listening to LA Catholic Morning. God bless you all.